differently, we have been studying and considering the resurrection. And we have seen that the resurrection is fundamental to our salvation. Confess him as Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. The resurrection is therefore very fundamental to our salvation. We've also seen that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we accepted him as Lord. And that is the word that we have been placing the emphasis on. You remember the Lord said in Luke chapter 6, I think it's 33, if I be Lord, do what I say. He is Lord. We are his bondservants. We owe him complete obedience. And we saw that as Lord, we owe him faithfulness. Thou faithful servant. And last Wednesday we saw that as Lord, we owe him loyalty, even to the point of death. Now today we want to look at another aspect, perhaps the last. Book of Malachi, please. And we have some Sunday school children here. If you don't know where Malachi is, ask them. They'll tell you. They know the books of the Bible, as one man has said, forward and backwards. Book of Malachi, please. Chapter 1. Verse 6. A son honors, respects his father. That's our subject. And a servant his master. If I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my respect? Or better, reverence. We owe God reverence. Saith the Lord of hosts, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar. You say within, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say the table of the Lord is contemptible. Our subject this afternoon, as servants and bondservants of the Lord, we owe him not only respect, but reverence, awe. I remember the first time I went to Niagara Falls. And I know a number of you have been there. I was simply struck with awe as I saw this water falling 250 feet stretching across from America to Canada. Awe. We tend to trifle with the Lord and to be too at ease with the Lord. He is awesome. Speaking to a young lady several years ago, she wanted to know where to go to vacation, for vacation. I said, have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Oh, yes, I saw that. I said, you didn't see it. You missed the whole point. It's an awesome sight. And when we get into the divine presence, it isn't like with a natural friend. He's God. And there should be a sense of awe that we're speaking to God. Grand Canyon. Oh, what a place that is. How many of you have been to Grand Canyon? Quite a place, isn't it? A whole 1 mile deep and 10 miles across. And it has been my blessing from the Lord to have been there 4 times. And each time I am struck with, oh, what happened? What is this? This deep hole and so broad. The last time I went, I took an airplane trip through it. and became more awesome. What happened? Oh, the evolutionists tell us that some million years ago, the Colorado River started streaking, and over 5 million years, the Colorado River dug a hole 1 mile deep. And that doesn't make any sense. God is awesome. Then I know a number of you have been over to Yosemite. Again, it's been my pleasure to be there at least 4 times. Each time I'm struck with awe. Where did this come from? Speaking to an associate several years ago, and we were talking about the Yosemite Valley. He was not a believer. He's dead now, and I don't believe that he was saved when he died. You know what he said to me? He said to me, every time I go to the Yosemite Valley, I realize that there's a God. Awesome. Awesome. Now we want to turn our Bibles to some very familiar scriptures and see the awe that God's servants held in his presence. We tend to take God too casually. We tend to treat God as if he's an old grandfather. He's God. And whenever we enter his presence, there should be a sense of awe. This is God. Exodus chapter 3, please. All the familiar scriptures. We've read them many times. But you know my old saying, education's repetition. And you can't read the scriptures too many times, no matter how well you think you know them. My famous illustration, John 3:16. Everybody here knows. We had a brother in New York City. He spoke 2 weeks every night except Saturdays. Gospel messages. One text. John 3:16, and all 14 messages were different. Can you do it? Awesome. Exodus chapter 3, please. Let's start at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but it was not consumed. When you go home, study that. The bush required nothing. It didn't ask for anything. It didn't need anything. That's a picture of God himself. He doesn't need anything from us. He does us a favor when he asks us to help serve in his service. Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. That's what that young lady missed on Niagara Falls. It's a great sight. Why the bush is not burnt? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here am I. God said, draw not nigh hither. Put off your shoes from off your feet. You're in the divine presence. Be careful how you walk. And in Ecclesiastes 5, we are told to be careful in the divine presence and to be careful what we say. We're in the divine presence. When we give thanks at dinner time, when we pray in the morning as we arise, when we pray at night before we retire, don't make it routine. He's God.
Let that sense of awe be present. Chapter 24, please. Verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. The glory of the Lord abode upon Sinai. The cloud covered it 6 days. The seventh day he called unto Moses out of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him into the mount. Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights.
With the Lord. Alone with the Lord.
Now we may not be able to do it for 40 days and 40 nights. But beloved, get in the habit of getting alone with the Lord. And standing in awe. Falling in awe in his presence. It'll have a wonderful effect. Joshua chapter 5. And as we read these, beloved, notice the posture of these men of God as they were in the divine presence. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth. He was in the divine presence. No place to be casual. No place to be over-friendly, even though we are the children of God. He is to be respected when we enter his presence. Book of Job, chapter 42. Book of Job, chapter 42. Verses 5 and 6. We know the book of Job well. How his three comforters, well, they didn't give him much comfort. How they taunted him. Now we come to the end of the story. Chapter 42 of Job, verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Now mine eye sees thee, wherefore I abhor myself. And I tell you, beloved, when we get in the presence of the Lord and get a proper vision, pride goes. We don't see much in ourselves to admire. In spite of our schooling and our learning and our this and our that and the other, when we get in the presence of the Lord, all of self goes. Very familiar one. Isaiah chapter 6. Conduct in the divine presence. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. One cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Now, what would you do if you were there? I think the best thing to do is do what Isaiah did. Then said I, verse 5, woe is me. I'm in the divine presence. No time for pride. No time for self-satisfaction. No time for ego, as the psychiatrist says, and no time for superego. In the Lord's presence, we are to realize that we are nothing. There is to be a spirit of reverence. Ezekiel chapter 1, please. Now, I want to confess something here. In going through these scriptures, I am taking another brother's message. Brother Now with the Lord, Brother Duguid of Montreal, and he named these visions that we shall see transforming visions. What happens to us when we get in the presence of the Lord and are really in His presence and really show Him the respect that we should. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. Above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above it. And I saw the color of amber as the appearance of fire round about within. From the appearance of his loins upward and from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness around. Who do you think this person is? Similar description in the book of Revelation. Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness that was round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. What are you going to do? When I saw it, I fell upon my face. Lamb, the great writer, and I used to like to read Lamb, you see, because he took all of Shakespeare's plays and put them in simple English so I could understand. Not that Shakespearean English. Some words there I didn't know they were in the dictionary. You know what Lamb said one day? If Shakespeare entered the room, I would rise. If the Lord Jesus Christ entered the room, I'd get on my knees with my face to the ground. That's reverence. One is respect. Fine. The other is reverence. Before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God the Father. Daniel chapter 10. So even when we are saying our prayers at home, whether on our knees, at the bedside, whether sitting, whether at mealtime, our hearts should be humble, a low posture. Absence of pride. We are talking to God. There should be a sense of awe and deep reverence. Whenever, even in our private prayers, as we're driving the car and we stop for a traffic light and we pray, should be with reverence. We tend to be too familiar with God and to treat Him like some old grandfather. He's God. And we need to regard Him that way. Daniel chapter 10, did I say? Verse 5, yes. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the barrel, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, the voice of his words like the multitude, voice of a multitude. Who do you think this is? Lord Jesus Christ. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. The men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell on them so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision.
Oh, and what happened?
There remained no strength in me. My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength.
Conduct in the divine presence. Absence of pride. Putting away all those things that would exalt us in the Word.
John chapter 28. John chapter 28. Chapter 20, please. There's no 28.
You must have wondered what's happening. What Bible is he reading?
No, John chapter 20, verse 28. Verse 26 to begin with, after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them this time. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And what did Thomas say?
My Lord and my God. It's interesting that he didn't put forth his hand to touch the Lord. The evidence was there. He was in the divine presence. My Lord and my God. Lowly bow.
Chapter 21, please. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, isn't that nice, children? Have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, please note, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. We're in the presence of the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat on him. He was what?
Naked.
And God does not approve of human nakedness. He was naked. Genesis chapter 3. He covered himself because he was naked. It's interesting how the world makes such a big fuss over nakedness. God doesn't like it. And we shouldn't like it. We need to be careful how we dress. God does not approve of nakedness. Genesis chapter 3, did I say? Verse 7. You know the story. The eyes of them both, Adam and Eve, were open. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's an interesting expression. Study it when you go home. They heard the voice walking. Have you ever heard a voice walk? It's a beautiful thought. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called out Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" Now, don't think for one minute that God didn't know where Adam was. You know why he asked him where he was? Because Adam didn't know where he was. Adam did not realize what he had done and the consequences. Adam, verse 10 says, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He knew that God did not approve of nakedness. God does not approve of nakedness. Verse 21. "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." God does not approve of nakedness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 26. Let's start at verse 25. "And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt build it of hewn stone. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it." Verse 26. "Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." God does not approve of nakedness. Spiritually, or I might say, physically. We need to be careful how we dress. Luke chapter 23. Reverence for God. Reverence for His presence. Even in our everyday activities, when we approach God, we ought to approach Him reverently. Book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 39. "One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him and saying, 'If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us.'" There's some place for a man to be railing. He's on the cross being crucified and he's railing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The wickedness of men. And they do it today. Especially the evolutionists. Among the most polluted and the most immoral. And if your children follow that which they teach, they're going to end up highly immoral. Evolution and immorality go hand in hand. That's why you find the children 6 years old taking a gun and killing another one. All based on the theory of evolution. Things just happen. One day we're going to talk about that. I think we should talk about evolution. But the other, verse 40, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That dying thief. One railed on him. The other one, he bowed lowly before him. He worshiped him. He recognized him for who he was as very God indeed and showed great reverence. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now, it's very easy in this day and age, with all that we see and hear, it's very easy for believers to lose the sense of awesomeness and reverence that we should have for God. Our Lord Jesus Christ and even God the Father is often referred to as the man upstairs. He's not the man upstairs. 1 Timothy, please. He's not the man upstairs. 1 Timothy. Chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. President Clinton needs it. That fellow over there in England, he needs it. In fact, they all need it. All the rulers. I listen oft times in the evenings, especially to the Lyra program on Channel 26, where they get the authorities, you know, the world authorities to sit and talk, and they never agree. They don't even know what to do. That's why we need to pray for them, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there is one God, one mediator between God and men. Who is he? The man upstairs? The man Christ Jesus. And I like to put it this way. Presidential elections are coming up soon. I, by all means, vote. But this is my man. The man in the glory. Is he your man? And one day he's coming to take me to be with himself. The man in the glory. He's not the man upstairs, and he's not our older brother either. Romans chapter 8. You must learn respect for the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Therefore, he's my brother. And only recently on TV I heard a certain gentleman, he's my older brother. No, he isn't. He's our Lord and Savior. He's not our older brother. He is pleased to call me brother. Thank the Lord. But I dare not call him brother. He's God. Reverence. Turn with me to Matthew 13, please. Oh, my time is up. Matthew 13, verses 55 and 56. Well, let's start with 54, please. When he, the Lord Jesus Christ, was come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty words? He didn't go to school.
You didn't go to Harvard. You didn't go to Brown. You didn't go to any of the big schools. Where'd he learn all of it? Well, he's the creator of everything. Very God himself. He didn't have to learn. He knew.
Is not this the carpenter's son?
Oh, my. And that's what some of them think of him today.
Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, please note, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas.
Notice James was a brother of the Lord, and Judas, not Judas Iscariot. Now turn with me, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. The Lord's brother, now. And if not brother, some feel he's a close relative. James, a relative of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Notice how he addresses himself. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't claim any earthly relation. The book of Jude. Verse 1. Also a relative of the Lord when he was on earth. Notice what he says. Jude, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Do you get it? It's wonderful. He was also a relative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm a servant. Brother to James, but servant of the Lord Jesus. Reverence for the Lord Jesus Christ. Another expression. Years ago in New York, the youngsters were about to sing a hymn. Sweet little Jesus boy. Oh, no. I told him, you're not singing that here. He is not a sweet little Jesus boy. When the Magi came, they came with gifts and they worshipped him, not his mother. Even then he was God, that little baby upholding the word by the power of his word. He's God. Let us respect him as God. There is a time when we need to fall on our faces before the Lord. And don't use these ordinary expressions about him. Sweet Jesus boy. Sweet Holy Spirit. Nonsense. Holy Spirit is God. And we need to address him and respect him as God. I'm 3 minutes over. I'm going to keep you 5 minutes more. In your everyday parlance, do you ever say, gee whiz? Do you ever say, gosh? Do you ever say, golly? Do you know what those words mean? Those words stand for God. And God's name is not to be taken in vain. That's in Exodus. When is the Lord's name taken in vain? Whenever you use his name in a way that doesn't honor it. You take his name in vain. Another expression that we should avoid, or expression, gracious, oh gracious. That's an attribute of God. Oh mercy, that's an attribute of God. We need to be careful in our language to always reverence our God. I'm going to stop. Go home and enjoy these thoughts. They are thrilling. They really make you feel good when you realize who the Lord Jesus Christ is and the reverence that we should have for him. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, we bow in thy blessed presence. We thank thee for this gathering of saints unto thee even this morning to remember our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, too, for the activity in the Sunday school, teaching us again precious truths from Thy Word about Joshua and Rahab. And for the last several minutes, Thou knowest those things that we have said one to another, how we need to respect and reverence our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we not be careless in using His name, in speaking of Him, in our appearance before Him. May we remember that He is God, God eternal. Bless us now as we take leave of this place. Take us home in peace and safety. Keep us, we pray Thee, until we meet again on Wednesday night, if the Lord be not come. And to Thy name we give glory, praise, and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.